The headlines today come from the University of Virginia's Weldon Cooper Center for Public Service, and it's got a lot to do with minimum wage. You might remember back in the 2014 State of the Union address when our president, Obama, said it was time to give America a raise by increasing the federal minimum wage to $10.10 an hour. Well, it looks like Megan Jewell Swanson has dug into this a little bit, along with some other folks, and come up with a census brief on who these low-wage workers are. Can I ask you first, Megan, why do this brief? What's the point of it?
Well, when we start talking about raising the minimum wage, you hear a lot about two particular groups. Either that raising the minimum wage is going to primarily affect high school students who are working after school jobs, or we absolutely must raise the minimum wage because there are all of these single parents that are raising kids on the minimum wage. And I really wanted to know, who are these people in kind of a broader perspective? Do they indeed actually fall into this kind of high school student single parent buckets that we talk about so much? And it turns out they're actually way more diverse than just these two particular categories.
All right, so who are these low-wage workers?
Well, it's hard to kind of capture them in kind of one particular description, but we know that half of them are working 35 hours a week or more. We know that there are a handful of high school students in there. We know that one in four is a parent. We know that one in four of these low-wage workers are the only income in their household, and they're supporting at least one other person. There's another group of people who, it's about 16%, who they have help paying the bills, but all of the salaries that are coming into their household or all of the wages that are coming into their household are these low wages. So it really makes a difference to these people, you know, kind of what the minimum wage actually is.
What does that mean, they have help paying the bills? Like government assistance?
No, as in it might be a dual income household,
okay.
Right? You and your partner are both working for less than $10.10 an hour, and you're jointly paying bills together.
How is it possible that, and this comes with the new Affordable Care Act, one half of the low-wage workers are working 35 hours or more a week. How is that possible? Because I think the government says that if you work more than 30 hours a week, or maybe it's 32, that you're considered a full-time employee. Do they have multiple jobs?
Some of these people absolutely are working multiple jobs or kind of piecing them together in various ways. Or you may have some fluctuation. You may work more hours one week, less hours the following week. There's a lot of different situations or ways that can play out.
Do we know if these people are working these jobs out of that's the only job they can find? I mean, it always seems to me that you start at a minimum wage job and you work your way up, even if you work in, say, the food industry, right? Mm-hmm. That is most of the people that are making less than $10.10 an hour. Is that right, the food industry?
About half of those making $10.10 or less are either in food service or they're in retail.
And so if they're in food service here in Virginia, I think it's like $2.10 an hour minimum wage. So they're making them, but they could be making more than that with tips.
Right. Tipped workers have a minimum wage of just over $2 an hour. But again, they make up the extra through that. But there are other types of food service jobs that aren't tipped employees.
Right.
So they're making closer to the minimum wage. And, you know, when we're talking about this low-wage bucket, you know, the actual minimum wage workers only makes up a little less than 3% of the U.S. labor force, so it's actually a really small group in comparison to this bigger category of people who are making less than $10.10 an hour, which is about one in three hourly workers.
I see. So a lot of people are making more than minimum wage. They're just making less than $10.10 an hour.
Exactly. The actual number of people making the federal minimum wage of $7.25 an hour or less is much, much smaller than this bigger group that we were looking at.
All right. Tell me a little bit, and this is a great question that's in this census brief, as a matter of fact. Why do these low wages matter?
Well, I think that what matters most about these low wages is who is depending on you for low wages or who you depend on, right? So what a low wage job is going to feel like in terms of your financial resources is going to make a big difference if you're supporting another person on your own, or if maybe you're a young adult who's still living at home with mom and dad and getting a little assistance on the side, or if you're part of a dual-income household where maybe you are working at a low-wage job, but you've got a partner that's earning more than that, maybe not a great wage, but is making more than the $10.10 an hour. The low wage can mean different things or feel different for the family account book.
This is News Radio 1070 WINA. We're talking about low-wage employment and the new census brief that came out from the University of Virginia Weldon Cooper Center. We've got Megan Juelfs Swanson on the line with us, and we're talking about people who were earned below $10.10 an hour. Megan, I did some research, and I was looking back in 1989 when the minimum wage was $3.35, and things have gone up about twice as in price, while the minimum wage has gone up about twice in price. So even if they earn more money, is there a concern that inflation or the increased cost of goods will negate that?
Well, part of what the study wasn't actually trying to figure out, you know, what are the long-term consequences of raising the minimum wage. What we were really looking at is, if when we talk about raising the minimum wage, who are the people that would be affected, right? And it's not just these kind of two very small groups that I mentioned before, your high school students and your single parents,
yeah.
Right? It's a much, much bigger group. And as we weigh this really important, really complex issue, it's important to have a broad picture of who actually would be affected by it.
Well, and so what's the next step for this? Is it to find out how these people who earn below $10.10 an hour feel about earning below $10.10 an hour?
That is definitely one direction that you could take it. I don't have the data to do that particular mm-hmm. piece, but I think that people would talk about their wages in very different ways.
It's fascinating study. So what do you think is the most surprising thing that you found?
I think one of the most surprising things that I found is that half of all low-wage workers are living with someone who makes more than $10.10 an hour, and I think that sometimes gets lost in this push that we need to raise the minimum wage, right? And that's not to say that raising the minimum wage wouldn't be really crucial in these households.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because your partner is maybe making $11 an hour doesn't mean that that's a really stable, solid income.
Right.
But I think that, you know, we lose track of this other half of people who have help either from a partner or from a parent or someone else that's paying the bill.
You know, one of the things that I will find so sad, and I love that you put so much effort and work into this report, but what's going to happen is that the folks on one side are going to cherry pick it, and the folks on the other side are going to cherry pick it, and they're going to find out their favorite stuff, and that's what's going to get the publicity, as opposed to looking at it in its totality.
That's always the thing. When you put these things out into the world, you never quite know how they're going to get taken.
Yeah. Well, Megan, thank you very much for your work, and thanks for explaining it to us here on WINA. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
All right. Be well. This is News Radio 1070 WINA. If you would like to find out more about that work, or you'd like to hear this interview all over again, it is pretty good information. You can find the information about the low-wage workers on our website at WINA.com. Just look under in the news section. If you want to hear the interview, head over to the podcast section at WINA.com.